see everyone here this morning. Hope that this day has been a good day for you so far. It's been a good day for me. And sure is good to sing the songs of Zion, and it's a blessing to read some of those hymns and some of the words to those old hymns and to sing those words and mean them and know that you have a relationship with Christ, and that's a blessing. That's a real encouragement. Amen. Matthew chapter 9 this morning, and I want to begin reading in verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray, Lord, this morning that the message would be a blessing and an encouragement to those who are here today. Lord, I pray, God, that as your word is preached, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would go forth and convict the hearts of men and women, those who are here tonight, Lord. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be, Lord, stirred in this area of missions and evangelization, Lord. And I just pray, God, that, Lord, you would help us to see your example here in these verses of Lord, how to be a soul winner and how to have compassion on others, Lord. And we thank you for this brother going to Indonesia, Brother Jaggi, Lord, coming here. Lord, he's going to be with us Wednesday. I pray that you give him a safe journey up, and I pray, Lord, that you bless his stay here in Barrow, Lord, and help this church to be an encouragement and a blessing to him. We pray, Lord, that everything that's said and done this morning would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, I know that I am nothing, Lord, and that I can do nothing without you. So, Lord, I ask, God, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit today and help me to preach your word. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, what an example Jesus is today to us in the area of missions and world evangelization. I'm amazed at reading through the life of Christ and how many times Jesus was willing to go out of his way to help somebody in need. And, you know, Christ left heaven and he came to this earth for a single purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me, folks. That's the world. That's those people living in Indonesia. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But before he left this world and ascended back up into heaven, he gave his disciples the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So Jesus gave his disciples, his followers, the great commission to go out into all the world and spread the gospel. But you know, even before Jesus gave that commission, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was just beginning his earthly ministry, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw a couple of fishermen casting their net into the sea. And he called to them, and he said, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, one of those men was a man by the name of Simon Peter. And it was this same Simon Peter who, on the day of Pentecost, preached and saw 3,000 souls saved. He saw 3,000 people trust Christ as their Savior. Now, I don't believe that was an accident. I don't believe that was a fluke. Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. He spent 3.5 years walking with Jesus everywhere that Jesus went. And so he saw all of the many people that Jesus helped and changed their lives. And I believe that everything Peter learned from about missions and about evangelism and about preaching and about helping people, I believe he learned from the Master. Amen. And I think there are some things that we can learn from the Master this morning. I think there are some things that we can learn this morning by following Christ's example in our own lives in the area of compassion for lost souls. And listen, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, if we're going to give the gospel out and we're going to see souls saved, it's going to take some measure of compassion on our parts. Amen. Jesus, here in verse 36, we see that Jesus had a heart full of compassion for sinners. The Bible says in verse 36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. The heart of Christ was tender and easily moved by the distresses, sufferings, wants, and infirmities of others. And I'm going to preach this morning on having a heart of compassion. I think it's important that we have a heart of compassion as Christians. And having a tender heart, having a heart that is easily moved by the distresses and sufferings and wants and infirmities of others, that's what having compassion is all about. That's what having Christian compassion is all about. And Jesus is our example in the area of compassion. And as believers, as Christians, our goal should be to become more like Jesus Christ. And I truly believe that the more like Christ we become, the more compassion we will show to those who are lost and in sin. Now, if we're going to have the same heart of compassion for the lost that Jesus had for sinners here while He was on this earth, I believe that we need to have His vision. We need to have His vision. When Christ saw the multitudes, the Bible says He was moved with compassion. When the Lord Jesus looked out into the faces of those people and He saw all these people following Him, and He saw a host of souls in that multitude lost and on their way to hell. That's what Jesus saw. He saw that they were without hope. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 that before God saved us, before we trusted Christ as our Savior, we had no hope. We were without hope. But now, because of what Jesus has done for us, we have a hope. Amen. We have a hope that this world does not have. We have a hope that the sinner knows nothing about. And a person who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we have to remember they have no hope. And until that reality sinks down in our hearts, until we see the hopeless condition that lost people are in today, we're never going to have the heart for souls that Jesus had. Not only did Jesus see a host of people without any hope, He also saw a multitude of lost souls that were hungry for the bread of life. The Bible says He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Jesus recognized that these people were hungry and thirsty, not just for physical food, but they were hungry and thirsty for something to satisfy the longing in their souls for true peace. You know, sometimes we look at the masses of people out there living in sin today, and they're out there and they're living in open rebellion against God, and they don't seem to have any interest in spiritual things. And we think, there's just no way these people, these sinners, are hungry for God. But you know, deep down in their hearts, there is a hunger. There is a longing in their sin-sick soul to be made whole. And Christ saw that hunger. He saw that these people were hungry. He saw the hopelessness of their condition. And He also saw that they needed help. He saw that they needed help or they would perish. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion on the multitude when He saw them scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Now, I haven't had much experience with sheep in my lifetime. You know that. But sheep, I guess, have a tendency, from what I'm told, sheep have a tendency to want to get out on their own. And, you know, sheep aren't the smartest of God's creatures. They're not the smartest animal. And when they get to wandering, they have a hard time finding their way to the fold. And there's nothing more helpless than a lost lamb. Jesus used the example of the lost lamb, the 99 that were in the fold, and the shepherd leaving the 99 to go out and search for that one little lost lamb. And when He found him, He came back rejoicing. Jesus used that illustration. And there's nothing more helpless than a lost lamb. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. The sinner is just like a lost sheep. They're incapable of saving themselves. They need help in finding their way back to God. And that's why in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus told His followers to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, he told his servants to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. See, lost sinners will never find their way to Christ unless someone who knows the way cares enough about their never dying souls to go out and bring them in. The heart of Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes with no hope, hungry, starving to death spiritually, and utterly helpless to save themselves. And when we look at the multitudes of lost souls out there in the world today, what do we see? Do we have the vision that Christ had? When we think about the millions around the world who have never heard the gospel, what do we see? Now, this missionary coming on Wednesday, I'm sure he's probably going to want to show us some pictures of the people in Indonesia. And when we look at those pictures, we need to think to ourselves, what are we seeing? Do we have the vision that Christ had? Are we seeing these people through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to see what Jesus saw. We need His vision today. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. In John chapter 4, Jesus told His disciples, He said to them, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You see, the seed has been sown. And we need to open our eyes and we need to look unto the fields, because right now they're white already to harvest. We're going to have a heart of compassion for souls, a heart like Jesus had for sinners. We need to have the vision that He had. We need to see sinners as He saw them. Secondly, we need not only His vision, but we need His burden. What Jesus saw affected His heart. The heart of Christ was burdened for sinners. His heart was broken when He saw the multitude scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The Bible says He was moved with compassion on them. And we see the same burden for souls throughout the Lord's earthly ministry. Time and time again, as we read in the Gospels where Jesus was ministering to others, the Bible says that He was moved with compassion on them. Christ carried this burden for sinners everywhere that He went. He truly cared about their souls. He was concerned about where they were going to spend eternity. He knew that their souls hung in the balance. And too often we fail as Christians to comprehend the reality that those without Christ are lost and on their way to hell. And if we would only see sinners as Jesus saw them, our hearts would break too. We too would be burdened enough to weep and to pray for them, and we too would care enough to go and tell them the good news that Jesus saves and that He is the answer. Jesus told His followers in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 and 38, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. When our hearts break, when our hearts become burdened for the lost, we will pray for their souls. We will pray for their lost condition, and we will intercede for the sinner. And we will want to pray that God would send. If we can't go, we will want to pray that God would send somebody in our place. You know, I'm not going to go to Indonesia probably in my lifetime. Really, I have no desire to go to Indonesia. Okay, I like it here. But, you know, there's no way I'm ever going to get over there to tell those people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can send a representative in my place. Amen? I can send somebody who's called of God to go and has a burden and has a vision to reach those people. God's called him. He wants to go. I can get behind him and I can support him and I can pray for him to go and tell those people that Jesus saves. Amen? I read about an old-time preacher who was preaching a revival service, and after the service, a woman came to him and she said, you know, preacher, I have two boys in this meeting who are unsaved. They're lost. And she said, there's been other young people converted in this meeting. How come my boys are still unsaved? How come my boys are still lost? And the old preacher looked into her face and said, maybe it's because your eyes are dry. Well, the next night the preacher was getting ready to preach, and before the service he saw that same woman again. But this time her eyes were red and swollen from crying. She said, preacher, After our talk yesterday, I realized that I hadn't been agonizing for my two boys. I hadn't been burdened for their souls like I should have been. And last night I went home and I spent the entire night on my knees before God in prayer. And God gave me a burden to see my two boys saved in this meeting. And you can guess what happened that night during the invitation. Her two boys were the first to step forward, step out of their seats, and come down the aisle to trust Christ as their Savior. You see, it takes a burden. It takes us getting down on our knees. It takes us weeping for sinners, for God to move sometimes. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, where is our burden for souls? Do we even care anymore that people we know are dying and slipping off into hell? We need God to break our hearts and give us a real burden for the lost. When the reality that those who die without Christ go to hell, when that reality hits home and Christians start to pray and weep for souls and start to care enough to warn sinners to turn from their wicked ways, people will get saved. People will get right. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them." It just takes us from a little bit of weeping. It just takes a little bit of a burden for us to get down and get busy about this thing, about having compassion for the lost. And we need to have the burden that Jesus had for sinners. We need His vision. We need to see sinners as Jesus saw them. And then, thirdly, we need His zeal. We need His zeal. If we're going to have a heart of compassion like Jesus had, if we want to follow His example in the area of missions and world evangelism, we're going to have to get zealous about winning souls. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Christ was active in the pursuit of souls. The Bible says He went out. He went out. He went about. He didn't just stay in one place and hope that sinners would come to Him. No, He didn't do that. He went to where they were. And He commanded His followers to do the same. He commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the great commission that we need to be carrying out today. The Bible says Jesus went into all the cities and villages. He went everywhere preaching the gospel to everyone. And even He sent out His disciples two by two into the places where He didn't go. He sent a representative in His place. And if we're going to follow His example, we need to take the message of salvation with us everywhere that we go, and we need to be ready to give the gospel to everyone that we meet. Jesus went about. He went into all the cities and villages. And the Bible says that Jesus went among the people. We're not going to win anybody to Christ if we wait for them to come to us. We must go to them. The country of Indonesia is not going to be set on fire for God if we stay here in America and don't do anything. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to take the gospel to the lost. And we must be willing to go out of our way even and to give of our time and of our talent and of our treasure to get the gospel to where it's needed and where the people need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ made Himself available to the sinner. In John chapter 4, Jesus went out of His way to make Himself available to the woman at the well. And it wasn't convenient for Jesus to go the way that He went. That wasn't the normal route. But He went that way for a reason. The Bible says He must needs go through Samaria. There was a sinner woman in Samaria who needed saving. A soul was in danger. A life was at stake. And that's why He went out of His way. That's the reason that He went the extra mile that day. Loving sinners and reaching the lost was on the heart of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to love sinners, if we're going to reach the lost, we have to realize that it's not going to be a convenient thing. It's going to involve some sacrifice. If we're going to have the vision that Christ had, if we're going to carry with us the burden that He carried while He was on this earth and still has upon His heart in heaven, if we're going to have the same zeal for winning souls that He had, it's going to cost us something. Are we willing to pay the price? Jesus was willing. He paid the ultimate price. Amen. He gave His life for sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's That verse is speaking of you and me. He died for us. Christ is our example. And boy, what an example He is to us in the area of compassion. The Bible says the Lord's compassions fail not. The Bible says the Lord is full of compassion. And we can learn from His example. Christ had compassion on us. He left heaven for us. He went to Calvary for us. He endured the sufferings of the cross for us. And we need to be following His example. We need to have His heart of compassion. See, just knowing Christ's compassion isn't enough. We need to be showing compassion to others. The Bible says in Jude verse 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." D.L. Moody used to tell the story about a poor, dirty little boy who would walk halfway across the city of Chicago to attend his Sunday school class. One day, a Sunday school teacher who lived near where the boy lived saw this little boy walking on his way to Sunday school. And the man asked the boy where he was going. And the boy told him where he was going. And the man said, "Well, why do you go to church all the way out there? Why don't you come to our Sunday school class? It's closer to where you live. You wouldn't have to walk so far." And the little boy looked up at that Sunday school teacher and said, "Because I go where they love a fellow. Because I go where they love a fellow." See, having a heart of compassion will make a difference in the world. It'll make a difference in this town. It'll make a difference in this area. Amen? Having a heart of compassion. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much for this time, Lord, for Your Word, and Lord, most of all, for Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And Lord, we stand here today, blood-washed, redeemed, and Lord, we owe everything that we are, everything that we have to You. And we thank You, Lord, so much for saving our souls. Lord, help us to have the same compassion for others that You had on us. And Lord, help us not to lose our burden for souls. Lord, I pray, God, that You rekindle in our hearts a desire to see people saved here in this town. Lord, I pray, God, that You would help us to have the vision that You had. Lord, help us to see sinners in this town as You see them, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, that You would help us to have Your zeal for souls, for seeing souls saved, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd raise up some soul winners in this church, God, that would turn this town upside down. I pray for Brother Jaggy coming through, Lord, this week. Lord, once again, I pray that You'd anoint him and use him, Lord. Help him, Lord, Wednesday night as he preaches, Lord. I pray that You would, whatever message, Lord, that You have for him to preach, I know will be the right message for this church. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be, Lord, here, and help us, Lord, to come with hearts expecting. And Lord, help us to come with hearts open. And Lord, may You have Your will and way. Lord, bless us now, Lord, at the close of this service, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would help the words that were spoken, Lord, the verses that we've read, Lord. I pray that that good seed would sink down into our hearts, Lord, and take root, Lord. And may our lives be different. May they be effective. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand this morning, and we're going to sing a song in closing. Hymn 437, we'll sing and we'll be dismissed. Hymn 437, "Send the Light." Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Amen. Thank you. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day.